If you don't have your Bible, you can grab one off the hymnal shelf in front of you, or you can open up your smartphone or tablet and open up your Bible app. We're going to be reading from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Now, I know we might be a little small in here, but it does not take a mighty army to shake fear into the gates of hell. All it does is take the voice of the people of God. So when you get to John 5, I want you to say amen like you really mean it.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not shaking up here. So when you get to John 5, say amen like you really mean it.
Amen. Amen.
Sounds good. Okay, John 5. After this, there was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, in the north city wall, is a pool with the Aramaic name Bethesda. It had five covered porches, and a crowd of people who were sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed sat there. A certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, knowing that he had already been there a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I don't have anyone who can put me in the water when it is stirred up. And when I'm trying to get to it, someone else has gotten in ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." Immediately the man was well, and he picked up his mat and walked. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So yesterday, I played in a golf tournament. Since I've gotten involved in golf and like to play a lot, one of the things you do is you go around and play in these golf tournaments and they're scrambles, which is really good for me. Because a scramble is where the first person hits his ball, all four hit their ball off the tee, and then you go to the best ball, and everybody hits their ball from that one. I'm usually not the ball that they pick, because I'm usually in the woods or probably in the water, a lot of times in the sand. I just can't get away from the beach. But what I've learned in these golf tournaments is that it's not really fair. Because what happens is three people who aren't very good at golf will get together and they'll call one of their buddies who's really good. Like, they know PGA players and call them up and say, "Come down and play with us." What are that person called? Does anybody know? Yeah, they call in the ringer. Luckily for me, I was playing with one of our church members yesterday, and he is the ringer. So I rode his back the entire day. It was great. And we finished third. It was a lot of fun. But as I was out there playing, riding on our ringer's back, I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we had our own ringer in life? Somebody that we could just jump on his back and let him carry us through? Maybe we do, right? So for those of you who haven't been with us the last couple weeks, we're talking about peace. Peace. We started with peace with God, and then we moved to peace with self. The first thing we talked about when it came to peace with self is how we have to take a personal inventory of our lives. Figuring out where those dark corners are in our life, those doors to our heart that we've chained shut and said we never want to look in there, we never want to go in there, we don't want to let anybody in to see those places. And the first mission, the first project, the first discipline for that week was just taking time to identify those doors. Sounds fun, doesn't it? The next week, we talked about how, what do we do when we find those doors? Well, we talked about how we get a little anxious when those things get stirred up in our life and how we might respond to them, either through conflict, withdrawal, over-under functioning, or triangling. And we talked about how we need to deal with those. And the first part was asking forgiveness from, this is participatory, asking forgiveness from God. And one of the ways we said that was to sit down in a chair with a blank chair in front of you and pretend that Jesus is sitting there and be honest. Be honest about where those hurts and those worries and those anxious moments come from in our life. And just saying, God, forgive me for. And then the second part was asking forgiveness from someone else or self. I heard both. So we'll go with self. Sitting down in a chair in front of a mirror, looking at yourself in the eyes and truly forgiving yourself. And then the third thing was the hardest one. Being honest with somebody else. Admitting what is going on in your life to somebody else. Somebody that you could trust. Well, I know that was really hard because that's the challenge. That's the discipline we gave you for the week. Did anybody do that this week? Is that crickets I hear? A little bit? It's okay. It's really hard to do, and we understand that. It is really hard to step outside your comfort zone and be who you are in front of others because we're afraid, because we're worried about what they might think, because we don't feel like we're good enough or that we're worthy enough to be honest with somebody else because we want them to like us. We don't want them to see our weaknesses as we see them. So that's really hard. So Pastor Nolan and I were talking this week and we said we need to take a break because we've asked them to do two really hard things these last two sermons and we want to let them have a little breather. Just give you something easy to do. That's what we talked about on Monday. Then on Wednesday when we met again to really talk about what we want to talk about, we said, it's okay. So we didn't take it easy. What we're asking you to do this week, is to let go. So if you look at this scripture, this man sitting in the near the sheep gate, near the pool of Bethsaida, on the northern city wall of Jerusalem. Let's first look at that. Does the sheep gate sound like it's going to be in the rich part of town? Does it sound like somewhere you want to go? Maybe it's the new hipster part in downtown, right? I still don't think that's where you'd find the sheep gate. Where do you think you would find the sheep gate of the town? In the dirty, poor, broken down part that everybody drives around, right? But who went there? That's where Jesus went. He went to the dirty, broken down part of town that nobody wanted to go to. The only people that were there were the sick, were the lame, were the blind, were the paralyzed, were those that the rest of the community had cast out, right? But that's where we find Jesus. That's where he chooses to be. And he looks at this man who's been at this place for 38 years. 38 years. And he says, do you want to get well? And this is where I love scripture, because you really can't just read scripture one way and say, oh, I get it. Because it's just like a text you get from your wife. You can read it one way and say, oh, I'm in trouble. Or you can read it another way and say, oh, she really didn't mean that. And then when you get home, you find out you're in trouble, right? Because text doesn't have the context that goes with it. It doesn't have the voice inflection. It doesn't have the cues that go with it. So when I read scripture, I like to read it in different ways to try to figure out what really is going on. So you could read this text where Jesus walks up to the guy and says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Or you could look at it like, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? I mean, and then it's just fun to play with the accents. Do you want to get well? You know, do you want to get well? You know, so you kind of get a richer understanding and you kind of can put yourself in that place. But here's this guy that's been 38 years in the same spot, and here comes Jesus, and he says, do you want to get well? And to me, when I read it, I hear this challenge that says, do you know what you want? Do you really want to deal with the issue at hand? And that's bolstered by the response of the man, because how does he respond? Did he say yes? No, what did he say? So you're gonna, we just read it. He says, I don't have any help. Nobody's picked me up to take me to the well whenever it's stirred up. And he says, and even if I couldn't find anybody, I tried to crawl to the well, but it takes me so long to get there, but by the time somebody gets there, or by the time I get there, somebody's already gotten in, so I lost my chance. And I was thinking, man, that sounds like me. That sounds like me all the time, every day. I feel like God is saying, do you want to deal with these issues that you've just found out about? And I say, sure, somebody else tells me how. Or sure, I'll try to figure it out on my own. I can deal with it. I mean, we've just spent these 2 weeks looking deep down for those doors in our hearts that we've chained up and put padlocks on, and we're saying, here's your opportunity to really deal with them. But how many people are like me that say, I really don't want to face that right now? I'll get to that when I get to that. Or if somebody comes along and gives me an easy fix, then I will do it. I mean, unworthiness, fear, doubt, anxiety, impatience, anger. All of that is buried deep down inside of each of us in different degrees. And it's stuff that Jesus wants to help us with. And he comes up to us each and every day and says, do you want to get well? And we say, Lord, as soon as I find somebody that'll make it easy for me, I will. Lord, as soon as I can claw my way and get there before everybody else, I will. How many years are we going to sit in the same spot waiting for the easy answer, avoiding dealing with the issue, and not do anything? How many years are you going to just sit in the pew and listen? Wow, that hurt. And not get involved. And not hear God's calling. God's question. Do you want to get well? It's an invitation. It's an invitation to let go of the struggle, to quit trying to find somebody else to help you, to quit trying to crawl your way through life, and to just accept the healing that he is offering. And all you have to do is to let go. Let go of the control that you are trying to maintain on your own life by disguising who you truly are to those around you, to yourself and to God. To just let go and be who God made you to be, and allow him to work, to move, to reveal himself through his healing power in your life. I go to a coach. I talk to a coach once a month, and there's something that he says that just hits me every time. So much of our lives is spent trying to fix the things that we don't feel is right about ourselves. And he said, what if that's not what God is asking us to do? What if God is just asking us to name those areas in our life so that the Holy Spirit can begin its work? Now, does that mean that it's going to be an overnight fix? For this guy, it was. God said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk away, and the guy did. But is that the only way he works? No. Sometimes he likes to work some transformation in our life. Sometimes he wants to make us be better. Sometimes he wants to kind of chip away at some of those areas in our life so that we come out looking and being the person he created us to be. So sometimes we feel like nothing is getting done. We remember the day we said, Lord, we let go, we give this to you. And then 6 months later, we're like, nothing's changed. But then we stop and we take a minute and we look back 6 months ago and we say, who is that? Who is that person? Or we have people in our lives that we've let in, that we've created community, authentic community with, that we share our lives with, and they say, you're not the same person anymore. What happened to you? And we begin to see that God is at work all the time in our lives. And that Holy Spirit, when we name it, that Holy Spirit immediately begins to work. And whether we recognize it or not, his power is great. And he begins to heal those areas that we've hidden so deep down inside. So if our definition of a ringer is somebody that'll carry us to the water and dump us in, then you're right, we probably don't have one in life. There probably isn't anybody that's going to carry us all the way through life without us having to even make a good shot. Works great in golf, but not very good in life. But if your definition of ringer is somebody that's going to come alongside you and make sure that your game gets stepped up because of their presence, then that's who God is. If we let go and let God be God, we have to let God be God and trust in all of these things that we've learned and that we say over and over and over. Because that's who he is. So, we have a challenge, a discipline each and every week for you to do after a sermon, right? And I know this is your favorite part. How many people have been doing the disciplines? It's okay. I get it. They're hard. They're not easy. They make us think. They make us open up to ourselves and to others. And they make us feel like we're not. They make us go to places we don't want to go. But this week, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to make you go somewhere you don't want to go. So if you take your sermon notes and look on the back, here is the discipline for this week. Find a quiet place. You know we love solitude. I want you to go to a quiet place and to honestly answer this first question. I am blank. I am scared. I am impatient. I am angry. I am fearful. I am doubtful. Whatever it is you were dealing with, for me, the answer to this question is I am unworthy. And then I want you to answer these next three questions. Honestly, you have to be honest in order to see this transformation begin. So you say the impact of this way of being on me is. Well, the impact of me being unworthy is that I don't feel like I should be up here on this chancel area. The impact of me being unworthy is I don't feel like I'm good enough to do the job that God has called me to do. I don't feel like I'm good enough to be who God called me to be with the people he's placed in my life. The impact of this way of being on those closest to me is, for me, hard. Because when I start to feel unworthy, I either react in one of two ways. I either brush off a compliment by saying, oh, it wasn't me, or whatever. Thank you, whatever. Or I tried to figure this out in the 8:15 service. I don't know how to say this in a churchy way, so I apologize. But I either scare it off, meaning I can be a bigger rear end than any of you. Because I feel unworthy, and because when that gets triggered in me and I get anxious, my response is conflict. So my automatic response is that I want to scare that off. And so to the people closest to me, I can be harsh and mean. Not because they deserve it, but because something inside of me gets triggered. And I don't want to deal with it. I confess these areas of disobedience related to this way of being. So instead of loving, I am hurtful. Instead of hearing God's grace and mercy, I brush it off. And then we want you to take 10 minutes in silence and tell God your I am statement. We don't want you to give God an order. We don't want you to request anything from God. Don't say, God, help me feel more worthy. God, make me more worthy. We just want you to say, God, I am blank. And let it be. Tell God you're ready to do what He wants. Tell God you're ready to let go. And let God be God. Sit in God's presence for at least 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And when your mind wanders, return your focus to God. Now you might say, I can't believe you just stood up there and said all of that. But I did it for a reason. Because it doesn't define me. It's just a part of my life that I'm allowing God to work in. Do any of you like me less? Are any of you like, oh my God, we got a crazy preacher. We need to talk to the DS. Well, you got about 7 days because he's right there. No. And you know the most important part? When we start to feel these emotions and this anxiety and this unworthiness or this fear or this doubt or whatever it is we're struggling with, and we think God doesn't want to hear that from me, let's go back to the scripture. And where did Jesus go? He went to the blind, to the lame, to the paralyzed, to the sick, to the ones who had the problems in their lives and didn't feel like they were worthy to be in the church, to be where all the good people were. They didn't feel like they were good enough to be in the presence of the people that claimed to have access to God. So they were hiding out next to this pool, hoping for something. And who walked in? The one who could truly help them. The one who left the 99 to seek the lost. And that's where we are. And that's where Jesus is. Right where we are, seeking after all of us, asking us, do you really want to get healed? Then you got to let me be me. And you got to just let go. So I challenge you, do the discipline. Go back, listen to the other sermons. Do the discipline. Do the hard work. Because when we begin the work, we get to the place where all we have to do is say, oh my gosh, God, you love me enough that you want to do it all for me. So here you go. And that's when we'll see transformation happen in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, it is so hard to be honest. It's hard to be honest with ourselves. It's hard to be honest with you, and it's really hard to be honest with those around us. Lord, because we know, whether we admit it or not, that we're broken. That there are places in our lives that we've shut down, padlocked, and closed the doors and said, nobody will ever go in there, not even myself. And we're just going to ignore it. But Lord, what happens when we do that is we end up sitting in the same spot for 20, 30, 40, 70, 80 years, saying, why aren't I getting better? Because we're afraid that if we let go of control, that we won't be able to determine who we're going to be. But Lord, we don't want to do that anymore. Lord, we want to take this opportunity to find those locked doors in our lives, to open the doors, because you said you would never force yourself upon us, but as soon as we open the door, you would flood our lives with your presence. Flood our lives, Lord. All of those places that we feel are unworthy, that feel make us dirty, that feel make us weak, that we feel is something that'll scare you away, remind us that that is the places you want to be so that you can work your healing into each and every one of us, that you can make us whole, that you can make us who you created us to be. Lord, give us the courage to be honest with you. In Jesus' name.